The U.S. Supreme Court convenes a new term today amid echoes of war and Bush versus Gore. Among the more pressing issues, the court could intervene in yet another election case. This time, Republicans are asking for a last-minute decision that would prevent New Jersey Senator Robert Torricelli from being replaced on the November ballot by former Senator Frank Lautenberg. The court did not take action on the case this morning. Overall, this year's Supreme Court calendar is one of great expectations, NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
This term marks one of those rare times at the Supreme Court in which the cases expected to have the most profound effect on American life have not yet reached the court but are making their way inexorably there and are likely to be heard by next spring. Among those cases right now making their way through the lower courts are a number of cases testing what, if any, limits there are on the executive branch as it wages the war on terrorism here in the United States. Although the courts traditionally have deferred to the executive branch in times of war, this time lower court judges have been resisting a number of the measures adopted by the Bush administration. Among the steps that have been ruled unconstitutional or unjustified by statute are these: the Attorney General's order requiring all designated deportation hearings to be closed to the public and the press, the administration's refusal to release the names of immigration detainees, the administration's attempt, so far blocked by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, to broaden its search powers under the newly adopted Patriot Act, and last but probably most important, the administration's designation of American citizens as enemy combatants. The enemy combatant designation deprives those individuals of lawyers or any judicial review of the charges against them. As William and Mary law professor Michael Gerhardt observes, all of these measures are designed to prevent enemies, foreign or domestic, from learning what the government is up to, and they're designed to prevent embarrassment as well.
The administration's policy is understandable, but at the same time, there is a degree of secrecy here I think we've never seen before.
Most constitutional scholars believe the enemy combatant designation for American citizens is the most problematic step the administration has taken, prompting one Reagan-appointed federal judge to observe that under the administration's view, a person designated an enemy combatant could be boiled in oil without any interference from the courts. But others, like former judge and Whitewater prosecutor Kenneth Starr, believe that it is the secret immigration hearings that are the most problematic.
That's the kind of issue that I think the Supreme Court would like to get into, and what I think there tend to be somewhat less deferential, especially since the United States has not been able to assert a powerful reason for district judges. Why do you need this particular proceeding closed?
Besides the war on terror cases, there are other major cases wending their way to the court, perhaps most importantly, a constitutional test of the new campaign finance reform law, making large so-called soft money contributions to the parties illegal and imposing other restrictions. Congress mandated expedited consideration of the case, so it's on a fast track to get to the court this term. In addition, waiting in the wings is a major test of affirmative action in college admissions and a gay rights case that offers the justices the opportunity to reverse a 1986 Supreme Court decision that's now widely disdained, a decision upholding state laws that make private homosexual conduct a crime. Already on the docket this term are a number of important cases involving everything from cross-burning to copyright and from voting rights to Victoria's Secret. On the criminal side of the docket is a major challenge to California's three strikes law, the most draconian such law in the country. While 26 states have such laws, only California allows a person to be sent to prison for life for what would otherwise be a misdemeanor if that individual has two prior felonies. In this case, the defendant had two convictions for burglarizing homes more than a decade before his third strike. And his third strike was shoplifting children's videotapes for his family from two stores. That got him life in prison, as Kenneth Starr observes.
The real battle is, are there limits on the anti-recidivist thrusts of so many of the states?
proportionality is a legitimate ground for measuring judicially the constitutionality of a particular punishment is a source of very lively debate among the justices.
The court in the past has said that some cases may present such extreme examples of disproportionate sentencing that they may amount to unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment. But the court has also upheld very long sentences for relatively minor crimes on the grounds that these are judgments for state legislatures to make. Also on the criminal docket is a constitutional challenge to a Virginia law making it a crime to burn a cross no matter where or under what circumstances, the theory being that cross burning is per se an act of intimidation. But if, as the court has held, burning the American flag cannot per se be a crime because it's a form of expression, then why is cross burning different? That's the issue before the court. So, too, are laws in two states requiring those who have been convicted of any sex-related crime to put their names and addresses on an Internet sex offender register, no matter how minor the crime, and without any court appeal. On the civil side of the docket is a challenge brought by anti-abortion protesters who are appealing a $255,000 judgment against them for trying to close down abortion clinics with their protests. This is a second engagement at the court for this case, and the issue this time is whether the actions of these protesters constitute a violation of the federal anti-racketeering statute, whether those actions violate it by seeking to prevent a business from operating. Also on the civil docket is another chapter in the High Court's new book on states' rights. In recent years, the court has struck down the age discrimination law, the Americans with Disabilities law, and federal labor laws on overtime pay as applied to state employees. This term, it's the Family and Medical Leave Act that's on the chopping block, with few observers thinking the fate of this federal law will be any different. If that is so, state employees will find that unlike other employees across the country, they have no right to take unpaid leave to have a child or take care of a sick family member. There are many other important cases before the court involving property rights, the death penalty, HMOs, and housing discrimination. There's also a hot redistricting controversy in Mississippi that pits the state courts against the federal courts, a trademark dispute brought by Victoria's Secret against Victor's Little Secret, and the first-ever constitutional challenge to a copyright law. The U.S. Constitution gives Congress the power to enact all copyright laws for a, quote, limited period of time. At issue in this case is whether Congress, in extending existing copyrights for an additional 20 years, went too far and created a virtually unlimited copyright. It's a case that once again offers the court an opportunity to challenge congressional power, and it's a case with literally billions of dollars at stake. Finally, attention this year is focused on the court itself, a court with a membership that has remained unchanged for 8 years, longer than any court since the Civil War era. With two justices in their 70s and one in his 80s, there's considerable speculation about a retirement this year. The speculation is heightened by the political calendar, namely, if a justice wants to retire in the next few years, this term would offer the only time he or she could do it not in an election year. But whenever there is a retirement, even if it is this year, it will likely spark the mother of all confirmation battles. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.